This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
The CEO of our Atlanta Hawks, his name is Steve Koonin, joins us on a weekly basis here on the show, guys.
The bar got so raised this last year. I mean, that's why, you know, we're trying to answer questions we have no answers to. That's why it's been so frustrating.
But this is why we love sports, not right. The losing part.
Right.
But it's not predictable. Now, I like the happy ending. You know, I'm a big fan of a happy ending in any way you want to talk about it.
Hey now.
Who doesn't like a happy ending, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, the problem was we were running out of time because we had to get to the commercial break, otherwise we'd get yelled at. But that was when Steve just literally, Carly, opened up a hole we could drive an 18-wheeler through right there. So we'll have fun with Steve next week with who doesn't love a happy ending.
No doubt. Hey, guys, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Friday. We are just getting word about a bunch of guys with the dogs that are going to make the jump to the NFL, declaring for the NFL draft. We've been saying this. Tomorrow is obviously the big parade and the big celebration in Athens. Mike and I will be there as well. John Chuckery's going to join us too, guys. I don't know if we've mentioned that. He's going to be out there with us hanging out, and we're going to have a good time at Grindhouse getting you ready for all that stuff from 10 to 3, and we'll be on the air when the parade and everything's happening. But, Mike, let's look at this real quick before we get into the top three, because you're losing now.
I need a good pounding right about now.
Well, I can't help you with that.
Plenty of time for that tomorrow, John.
You're losing George Pickens. You're losing Trayvon Walker. Mm-hmm. You're losing N'Kobe Dean. We knew that. You're losing Lewis Cine and Zamir White. At least those are the guys that have declared. That's a lot of production, Mike, on this championship team.
I think almost all of that was expected. I think a lot of Georgia fans were fingers crossed that George Pickens would come back. But George Pickens, in like one catch, shows you why he's NFL ready and why he's, you know, the explosive. And just, again, it's like Chinese food, man. You see George Pickens, you're hungry, you want more. You're hungry, you know, he's so tremendous. And to come off in the injury, there was no reason to put any more wear and tear in a college career. I think that was the one that was probably the most likely. And then, as you said, Trayvon Walker, the other guys that are moving on, they're all going to, again, get to work, get onto the draft. And just a matter of who's going to be the impact guys. I mean, Jordan Davis, all the other dudes we've been talking about so much on that defense. Cook. I think you and I brought up James Cook. James Cook and Zeus are going to have a hopefully good careers. I hope that Zeus, and there's not concerns about the wear and tear that he's been through, Carl, over his career. Because you're talking two guys with knee injuries, Pickens and Zeus, now getting ready for the NFL.
Yeah, there are also about 8 players, maybe 9, I think, that have Senior Bowl invites. We talked to Chuck Smith in the 2 o'clock hour. He's out in Arizona training, not dogs, but a group of players that will be participating in the Senior Bowl. So, you know, you've got that going on. And then, you know, the coaching staff changes. But this is what happens when you win. And again, if you've got a national championship caliber team, you're going to lose players. We knew that. To Mike's point, we didn't know which ones. So now we're trying to figure out, okay, now we know who's coming, who's going. By the way, Chris Smith, the safety, is coming back for the Dogs. He put out a nice statement. But we still don't know about Stetson Bennett. And we still don't know about, you know, some of the other guys that have not made their decision yet. Brock Bowers, guys, was a true freshman. He's coming back. He's not eligible to go pro. You know, so some of the questions have been answered just from a a rule standpoint, Mike. You know, I think if I'm Brock Bowers and I could go, I'd probably leave this year. But he can't leave yet. So we're still waiting.
And you
to
can't
hear.
Go red or back and draft him now, you know,
no,
like
no.
He did with Larry
Bird. Like Barry Larry
before,
Bird.
Right.
But we're waiting on some of these other decisions. But there will be change. And this is the other part that we'll talk a lot about as we move forward into the offseason and next season, is how this team handles not just success, but the that go on. This is what's made Saban so good, right? The changes happen. They lose coaches. They lose players. And they're right back in there.
And I think that's why, you know, for Alabama fans that are, you know, in their bag about this one, you're going to be right back in the mix. You're going to be preseason number one with the best quarterback and the best linebacker in college football coming back. And
best receivers.
Georgia is going to have, you know, again, this turnover we just talked about.
Yeah.
And then, and Georgia will, in all likelihood, because I think Florida's a work in progress. I think, you know, Tennessee is not going to be an easy out. But it's still, you could pencil Georgia right now into the SEC championship game, and they're going to be up against Alabama, who's going to be, Georgia's got to do this year what Alabama just did. Or sorry, next year what Alabama just did this year. And that's why Kirby, when he congratulated and they were talking with Saban, Kirby said it's the best coaching job he's seen Saban do this season.
I think it is, too. I really do. That's a young team, man. That's the thing.
Right.
Speaking of getting there a year ahead of time, and for Alabama fans, you were like, well, what are you talking about? We should be there every year. I thought this year's team with Bryce Young at quarterback would be there next year. So there's no reason to think that they won't be now. With the experience he gained, he's got those guys coming back that Mike talked about. They're going to be a problem. So
you know, it's like that meme we joked around. Was it yesterday? I told you that everybody's seen it. The SEC memes. Georgia has hope. The woman that portrays hope, she's leaving the house. She's like, where are you going? We've been such a good team. And she goes, I'm going to Texas A&M because they'll be the ones with a level of expectations. Jimbo's going to have a new quarterback he's going to have to work in. But, you know, there's a team which is founded where they can say, look, we beat Alabama. We just shot ourselves in the foot in the other games we lost in conference.
Yeah. Are the two receivers, Minshew's a what, junior, right? Mm-hmm. Is he coming back for Alabama? I mean, after rehabbing, or is he going to go? What do you think?
I mean, I think you could apply the same logic to Pickens' situation you could do to Mechie.
Yeah.
You know, that Mechie will, you know, he's going to have to go through this whole offseason and then come back and then maybe, you know, and not rush, but he'll be almost the same, almost identical timeline to what you just saw Pickens go through.
I know. And then Williams already declared, so.
Right.
They'll be retooling there as well. But they got some good young receivers. You saw it in the national championship game. All right, guys, that's what's going on with the Dogs, at least right now. More news to come, and we're all over it tomorrow, having a lot of fun with our special broadcast out there in the parade, by the way.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Mechie is joining the draft. I apologize. Yeah, Mechie is going in.
So he's already declared.
ESPN reported it, yeah.
Okay, so he's declared. So both were difference makers for Alabama, both going. The parade, 12:15 to 1:15 tomorrow. Again, the celebration is at capacity. We're talking about at the stadium. No more tickets available. If you're wondering, hey, how do I get tickets? There are no more tickets. Let's get to the top three.
It's time for the top three at six.
Top three at six.
Now let's see what we have here.
Let's start with our Hawks. Tonight, by the way, pregame 7:30, tips at 8. It is the Miami Heat. And today, Travis Schlink told us what the deal was with Cam Reddish. And the main thing is, he said Cam wanted out.
Cam had come to us at during the offseason and expressed a desire to, you know, maybe get to a situation where, you know, he could have a little bigger role. You know, he's certainly not the first player that's done that. You know, he went about it the right way. It was no public proclamation. You know, he showed up, went to work every day. But, you know, we told him, listen, if there's something that makes sense for us, we'll certainly take a look at it.
And they did. Mike, should people feel some kind of way for Cam saying, hey, I want to go play more?
I mean, I don't blame the guy. I mean, they said it was civil. They said that his camp came to Travis and management and said, we want an expanded role in this preseason. And they're telling us that nothing got weird. Do you think something got weird in the locker room we're not being made privy to? I mean, rarely does it go that smoothly. And because, and I know a lot of people didn't like the fact, you may see him again, you'll see him a lot in a Knicks uniform if it works out, but they were the only team that was going to give us a first rounder. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I had high hopes for Cam. I know a lot of Hawks fans and guys that follow this team had, and now all of a sudden I'm told, nah, not that important. We're moving on. Doesn't really fit. We're better without him on the floor. I'm just still having a hard time digesting all that.
The narrative, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're going to hear more about John Collins and his role, which is also interesting, from Travis Schlink, who he talked about that today. It's coming up as part of our most important story of the day, because the Hawks have to get right. They got to start turning the corner here. We can't say, oh, there's plenty of season left. We're going to turn around. It's going to be March. And we may be on the outside looking in. Hey, Nate McMillan did talk about Miami and the challenges that they present on both ends of the floor.
You got to have a multiple effort when you guard Miami because they do a good job of moving the ball, moving bodies, and making you chase them. And I thought the third quarter we came out, you know, they came out, jumped right on us, came out flat. and they just really took control of the game.
Mike, by the way, Kevin Knox, the guy we acquired from the Knicks, will not play tonight. So,
womp, womp. All right. Yep. Well, I mean, he didn't really play much for the Knicks either. So, hey, man, let's see. Maybe they can get something out of this dude. Let's see if we can get a win streak going. But Miami is one of the best teams in the conference. They beat you without Jimmy Butler on the floor and a bunch of other starters. So, I mean, it's got to start with – I'm looking for that spark. Remember we had that big home win streak earlier this year before Christmas?
And yeah, just, but nothing, yeah.
And then we just go back on the road and we get our brains beat in. And then, you know, it's just no defense. To me, and then we asked Steve, and Steve, we asked – a lot of guys are asking us, by the way, in the text line, just real quick as an aside, who is the leader? And, yes, you should not poo-poo that. Like, it's not a big deal. Leadership is important. And if John Collins is making noise as a leader, what's wrong with that?
I like the happy ending.
I do, too.
But, I mean, I like what John Collins is saying. I think if guys are offended, they're in the wrong business.
Yeah, I don't have any problems with him standing up. Here's the other thing. He's producing. Right. Is he producing as much as he should in the minds of Hawks fans? Well, maybe that's because, again, in his words, he doesn't have a defined role. He's just out there hooping. OK, so, you know, if that's the case, and I'll use this example, guys, the reason why, you know, Shaq and Kobe, for example, were able to coexist and be so good is because they had an offense just like Michael did in the triangle that gave them a chance to run plays through them. That there's something to be said about that than just go down, all right, let's pick and roll and move the ball and just take the best shot. I'm not saying that's not the flow of the game. You can't play that way all the time. But John Collins is right as far as, you know, speaking up in that way. And I have no issues with it whatsoever. Hey, Hawks Heat tonight. We'll see what happens. Mike's right. Let's go on a win streak. Meanwhile, Terry Fontenot was asked about the toughest part of his job for him this season, Mike. Our offseason has started. NFL playoffs start tomorrow. Here's Fontenot.
Yeah, and one of the biggest challenges for me this year, I would say, when you come into a new building, when you've been somewhere for a long time, you have relationships with everyone in the building. We kind of touched on this earlier, and you're able to build those relationships, and that makes the communication smooth. And yet here with the COVID restrictions, with a lot of new people, you weren't able to build all those relationships as quickly as you'd like to, and that does affect things. And yet I'm excited about going into this next year where – we have built more relationships. Hopefully we won't have all the restrictions that we have going into this offseason, and we can continue to communicate in the right way. And so I'm excited about going into this year and not having all those restrictions that we had last year.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the fans, I don't know if that translates to the fans as much, but I mean, just go out there and find the best offensive lineman. Find me. I don't know. They got to do some evaluating first on this, you know, what this team is and where can you fix it immediately. I mean, we see this draft, at least right now, before the combine, before the Senior Bowl, that it's a really good defensive line draft. It's a good offensive line draft. There's good corners out there, too. I mean, it's just, you know, it's funny, Carl. It's like you take your car into the body shop. Well, kind of need everything. That's kind of like what we need. You know, the car's almost totaled. You know, we got Matt Ryan, and he did not have a great year this year, in part because of his offensive line and no Ridley. By the way, what are we going to get? A lot of guys are asking, what are we going to get for Ridley? Well, it's going to be a second rounder tops. You agree?
I agree. Not getting a first rounder.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good scenario because people are going to have to find out what is up with Ridley. I mean, does Ridley intend to play football or walk the earth like Kane in Kung Fu? I don't know, man.
I don't know either.
And I don't mean that to be disrespectful. We haven't heard anything.
I don't know either. I don't know. I'd love to know, like everyone else, but I don't know. So, for me, that's a wait and see, and everybody's saying the same thing, right? No new news.
Right.
Arthur Smith, yeah. The Terry Fontenot, everybody's saying the same thing. So, we'll have to wait and see. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our top three at six, guys. We will talk more about the Hawks coming up. I do want you to hear Stetson Bennett, because tomorrow is the big celebration. And as we said, tickets, there are none. As far as the capacity to get into the stadium and all of that, they are gone. But Stetson said, it took a lot of work, man, for us to get here.
There's a method to the madness that, you know, Coach Martin, all the coaches, Coach Sinclair, and everybody who's spent years and years and years in, you know, this industry and that stuff, they know how to mold young men. And, you know, what me and Lou and everybody else, all the players in this program have went through in the past since Natty, has got us to this point. And, you know, you always wonder, you know, why are we doing this? And this is why.
Yeah. To win chips, to be a champion.
Yeah, man. And now the work continues. That's why Kirby, you know, the recruiting process, everything else. We had David Green on earlier. That interview's online, 929thegame.com. Odyssey.com. Greeny said if he was Stetson, he'd go bask in the glow of being Stetson, you know, and just and tap out because it's not going to get any better than this.
No, it's tough.
You're Stetson Bennett right now. I know we're going to talk about this a lot tomorrow up at Grindhouse in Athens. You walk away. I said to you earlier, remember the movie Necessary Roughness? Remember Scott Bakula was like the 35-year-old? I guess you could always stick around Athens, and if they ever have a problem in a gap year, coach, I'm ready. I've got eligibility.
I got one year. Here's the thing. Everybody talks about doing what's best for you. If you are not projected to be one of these high draft picks, which he's not, I'm talking about from a quarterback standpoint. And maybe some teams have said, we said this, might invite him to camp. Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't mean that he won't have an NFL career. But, Mike, it's rare that you get to live this. Like, this is the moment in your life that you'll never get a chance to relive. And so part of me, as much as I've said, you know, I'm out and I appreciate it and I'm going out on top. The other part of me is, dude, I'm coming back. We're going to have a really good team again. You know, we got all these guys coming back. I mean, offense is going to be good. Maybe he does decide, you know what? It's worth coming back with all that I've gone through with my journey. Here's the thing, though. Is he going to be promised to be the starter?
That's just it. I mean, he's had to basically beg, borrow, and scratch and steal to hold on to this job and convince Dog Nation that he's better than JT Daniels and anything else. And then as soon as we win the championship, people are saying, well, you know, if he doesn't leave, it's really going to mess things up because Vandegrift's gone, Beck's gone. I mean, Beck didn't even get a chance to sniff a start. So I did get a kick. We talked about it earlier. You guys might not have seen the video. It's gold. Stetson Bennett, he is serving if you want some chicken tenders, some chicken fingers. He was over there at Raising Cane's. And how cool is that? You come in for your drive-thru, and there he is, your national championship quarterback. I like what David Green – David Green does insurance with Stinchcomb. I mean, you go back to Black Shear, and you open up whatever you want. Or, you plant your flag here in Atlanta. Stetson Bennett, life insurance. There you go. And every dog will be beating a path to your door.
Yeah. Well, he's got options, and that's the key, man. I wish the kid nothing but the best. I want to see him do what's right for him.
But you just said it. We mentioned six dogs off the top of our head. You know, your running backs, one of your best wide receivers. I mean, it's going to be like you're going to have to put in the effort Alabama did, so it's not going to be as easy a path if you're Stetson Bennett. And you're going to take the same abuse from the fan base who still doesn't believe you're the man at quarterback.
Yeah, his family talked about this, and, you know, I think it was his dad talking about not the specifics, but just the pressure of going through this ordeal.
Right.
It's not easy, man. It's not. Everybody can say just ignore it and turn your social media off and do all that stuff. It's right here in your face. We're coming back. Most important story of the day next.
The most important story of the day.
We're trying to figure out what the Hawks need to do to get back on the right path. Now, Mike, we're currently 12th in the Eastern Conference. You said this yesterday, right? We were what? Six games out last year, and, you know, when the coaching change happened
It was February 28th, to be exact. Yeah, March 1st was actually when our man took over, Nate.
So we were further along than we are now with this change. And again, we don't know if this is going to be the only one. I don't believe it will. We'll have to wait and see what the trade deadline brings. But there's no reason to believe that the Hawks can't turn this around. And I'm talking about just more consistent basketball. But I want to talk about this leadership thing, Mike, because it is a big topic, man. And we take for granted, I think, that, you know, you just put these stars together and everything just works. And I've said this, you know, for years, everybody has always just thought, you know, the best player on your team is your leader. Right. And that's not necessarily true. You know, we've said this about the Falcons, right? When Matt was and has been here for a very long time, there have been other guys. You talked about Mud Duck and some of these other guys that have come along that have been around in the league who get it. Who also, you know, in an AFL, by the way, you need more than one guy. This is not one guy standing up and saying, hey, this is the way it's going to be. Ray Lewis was the voice of the Ravens, but I guarantee you they had probably five other guys. I know for a fact that were all in step together. You need more than one guy in a locker room like that. So, Mike, in the NBA, it's a smaller locker room. It's more intimate. And, you know, everybody says, well, it's your best player. Does your best player have to be your leader?
I mean, this goes back to if you got a room full of like alpha males and big dogs. I mean, like if you're playing with like Parrish and McHale and Bird, you know, and DJ. I mean, somebody. I think it's all like everybody's kind of. It's inferred that you're all going to work your ass off, right? For the Celtics. And the same goes, you know, for Matt. Now, Magic, obviously, Magic's the man. But then Magic also got guys got, including the coach and players. So I don't know how that power dynamic. I mean, was it James Worthy? I guess Kareem would be the guy by default, right? Until he retired.
Yeah. Yeah, Kareem was the leader when Magic got there. You're right. I think if you're an elite superstar, it's a given that you are the voice of that team. You know, Luka has taken over Dallas. There's no doubt. You look around that roster.
He's getting guys got at every level.
Yeah. That team. You're like who else is the guy, right? There's no doubt. But I'll tell you guys this, and I'll use this as an example. When LeBron got to Miami and, you know, Dwayne Wade was there, and it's Dwayne's team. But in the locker room, everybody listens to Udonis Haslam. Everybody. And he's been there. He's an old man now, right. But I guarantee you, respect isn't the word when you ask guys around the league about Haslam. He's always been the guy to been like, hey, you know, this is what's going on. We got to step it up. And in his prime, he was a hell of a contributor. Now he's just a guy there because Miami loves him. Pat Riley loves him because he knows what he brings to that team.
Look what Solo was for us. Guys are like, why is Solo on the floor? I go, because he's the OG, you know, because he's an old head. You know, he's the dude that was our guy here. Now, again, he's hurt, couldn't contribute this year. But, yeah, I like what I'm hearing from John Collins. I mean, I don't know, do players resent the fact that it's playing out in the media, but when John makes these statements, I don't know. I mean, the team is always going to portray, with all due respect, that everything's hunky-dory. Yeah, you know, man, hey, Reddish wanted out, but he was cool about it. There was no problem. Maybe there wasn't, and that's awesome. It'd be the first time in the history of the NBA that somebody want more minutes. It wasn't a pain in the ass. But I'm with you, brother. I don't know. I'm scratching my head. I'd like to give people information. We were supposed to be in this business because we hear. It's so weird to go from how Nate had these guys playing, like their hair's on fire and everything's working. I mean, Trey's got to play some degree of defense. I mean, we talked about this yesterday. I mean, he's never going to be a great defender, so Steph Curry's not considered an elite defender, but he's got to put the effort in, Carl. I mean, everybody just has like a cape, like they're matadors out there.
Yeah.
Or they're late. It's hustle. Open looks are there because you didn't get to the spot and beat your man there and plant the feet, get the hand up.
So this is something that this team's got to figure out. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen overnight. Somebody doesn't walk in the locker room, grab their sack, and go, I'm the leader. Okay, that's not how it works. This is a process. And if it's already been ongoing, maybe at some point that leadership shows through.
Right.
But it's not right now. And you say, well, how do you know? Because we're losing. Losing teams don't have that. Losing teams, there are continuity and trust issues and all the things that go along with it. Winning teams, you guys trust each other on the floor. It comes across with dubs, and more importantly, you don't have dysfunction. So right now, you got guys complaining about minutes. He's gone. You got guys saying, I don't have a defined role. He's here. You got guys who are not playing defense who should be playing better defense. There's a lot happening. So Coach Nate, Mike, for all the stuff that we're talking about, this still falls on his shoulders. How does he turn this around?
Yeah, I mean, are you going to bring in somebody, a veteran? You're going to bring in somebody who's got a ring? You're going to bring in somebody at the trade deadline that's got that gravitas. I mean, and then you're hoping that you manufacture, you know, that chemistry like that. I don't know. The narrative could be, I mean, DeAndre Hunter's kind of like we don't really hear a lot from him. You know, he kind of just does his job, you know, four years.
He could be that guy too. Yeah.
I mean, I'm leaning towards John Collins, you know, but then again, see, then people ask us, and I don't know where this is going, but we let's be honest. If we do know one thing for sure, there was a strange little soap opera last year before Christmas where they had to have a team meeting, right, involving John and Trey and facilitating and John getting the ball. I love a guy who wants the ball who's making $25 million a year. Let's go. I'd like to go earn my paycheck is basically what John is saying.
Yeah.
I mean, how does Nate McMillan, who had a rep that he couldn't win the big one and all those things that, you know, people were saying, oh, let's make him prove he deserves his deal. What, did Nate forget everything in the past 6 months? I can't buy that either. I don't know where this is going. I really don't. Other than the one thing but people will say, Carl, people got paid. Guys got paid. Red Velvet got paid. You know, Trey, everybody got their money. And does that create what's happened in other teams and other sports?
Let's hear Travis Slink talk about the evaluation of John Collins. Now, here's what happened if you missed this, okay? This is over the last week here, before the Cam trade. Collins was asked about his role, and he was talking about, you know, Lloyd Pierce, our former coach, and Nate McMillan have said they don't call plays for him, okay? And then he was asked how he felt about it. He said, I don't love it. He says, I understand my value and my role to the team, and I feel like I've embraced it. I'm not complaining. He says, I've done what they've asked me to do, but I don't love it. I'm trying to do my best to try to play through it. So that's how he answered that. And then when asked, okay, can you further explain what you're looking for when you're discussing what you are bothered by? He said, my usage. And then he went into the fact of, you know, trying to get more out of him being on the floor. Here's what our general manager said about JC.
Well, John's one of the best finishers in the league, you know, in the pick and roll. And, you know, as far as spacing bigs, you know, shooting the ball, he's a plus 40% three-point shooter. So, you know, the way that we play when we have, you know, the other team switches on us, which a lot of teams in the NBA do switch, you know, that's where he gets his pick and roll post-ups from, is out of those switches. So even though the play technically might not be called necessarily for John, you know, we do look to getting the ball in those situations. You know, spacing the floor, shooting the basketball. So he's certainly a big piece of our team. He's a big piece of, you know, when he's involved, who's certainly a very efficient player for us offensively as well. You know, speak to the play calls. I'll let Nate answer those questions. But, you know, John is certainly, you know, one of the better finishers in the league, no doubt about that.
Finishers, yes. The play calling stuff, he says he'll leave for Nate to answer. And I don't know if Nate's going to answer that. Like, how is Nate supposed to answer that? So, yeah, I'm going to give him the ball more, or we'll run more stuff through him, or this is how we're trying to play. And we know we're trying to play space and pace and go through Trey, right? That's right. What we're trying to do. So when Trey's not on the floor, though, Mike, shouldn't JC get more touches?
Yes, and that's up to whoever we're rolling out there, whether it's Lou. I mean, I would love to see Sharif and some of the rooks get some action, you know, but that's just not seeming to happen. This is the most confounding team I've ever seen, because you go from the highest heights to this, where guys in the – we got people jumping – people who jumped on the bandwagon, Carl, they've quickly jumped off. And the general manager, the CEO came on with this, Puffy K, and he says we asked about leadership. They don't know who the leaders are on this team.
Mike, let's get to tonight's game winner, my man.
You know what? It's pretty simple. Today, we saw a quarterback who won a national championship at Raising Cane's, totally now chicken fingers. What's the best chicken in fast food?
Oh.
Okay, and if you want to say it's dot, 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 and the sandwich, or it's so-and-so and the fingers, or it's so-and-so and the nuggets. You know, I had to hand up. I went to Chick-fil-A today in Peachtree City.
Yeah.
In and out in 20 seconds. They had the cars running like it was the Daytona 500.
It's incredible.
In and out so quick.
No,
so.
It's incredible. And when you have you ever rolled up to Chick-fil-A? This is a credit Chick-fil-A. And there's two lines,
yes,
and they're long.
That's
and
what I had like, today.
You're like, I'm not going to wait in this line. And then you're like, you're screwed. I got to get to Chick-fil-A. And then you get in the line, and it's...
Today was like Pavlov's like housewives. Everybody lined up in the same line. I came over on the right side. I came around. I go, is this okay? They said, oh, yes, you're fine. I told that lady she could come in this lane. So, yeah, I got it. Everyone's looking. Give me their mean mugging me, Carl, as I'm rolling out with my chicken. Hey, man, 404-741-0929. Who's got the best chicken?
Now, your game traffic. 92.9 The Game's Traffic Center, brought to you by Bader Scott Accident Attorneys. Call Bader Scott, 404-888-8888. That's 404-888-8888.
I'm Will Guerra from the Game Time Traffic Center. This traffic report brought to you by Comcast Business. And right now we're still seeing some delays on the connector traveling north and southbound. 85 still filling in right around Spaghetti Junction. Gets better the closer you get towards 316, I-20 east and west. Still seeing those brake lights between 285 and Lithonia. 75 beginning to clear out northbound. Southbound still a bit sluggish. Heading down towards 285. The DuckDuckGo route you can trust is 400. Looking good. North of Sandy Springs heading up towards Roswell and Alpharetta. In business, setbacks change everything. Fast, reliable Comcast Business Internet can help keep you ahead. And now, you can add Security Edge. It helps protect every device that's connected so you can be ready for what's next. Comcast Business, powering possibilities, restrictions apply. From the Game Time Traffic Center, I'm Will Guerra on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929.
Today's Chuck, question... Coming up next?
Hey, man, we're talking about chicken. And what we saw earlier today, it went viral, the Raising Cane's chicken fingers over at Athens. And that's embedded in the drive-thru, making an appearance, which is really kind of cool and surprising some folks. Handing out the orders. So we're talking about your favorite chicken tonight, 404-741-0929, tonight's game winner. Now, tomorrow, sports fans, busy day in Athens. We're going to be over there on South Lumpkin, right at Grindhouse. Come upstairs and watch a live radio show, Chuck Reed, Dukes and Bell. It's a special 5-hour edition because our boss couldn't get anybody else to work. No, it's because we're excited, Carl, to be out there for 5 hours. We love the Grindhouse. Hey, man, ale, the best burgers in town.
You betcha.
So let's see what the listeners got as we're live. You're live on the radio, man. Big opportunity. Don't screw it up. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
We're going with favorite chicken sandwiches. The best one out there, hands down, is Chick-fil-A. Can't be beat.
Yeah, man, I got the spicy today. I mean, look, we all, and Carl knows the story you told that first time we did the great blind chicken taste test contest.
Oh, yeah.
When you went and spent, Popeyes. 45 minutes at the Popeyes drive-thru to get a piece of the action.
We cut Chick-fil-A. They didn't know. I got a Wendy's at the time. I got a Wendy's a chicken sandwich. I got a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and I got the Popeyes. And we did a taste test where I cut, and we did a blind test.
Right.
And everybody, you could immediately go, this is Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, it's just the best. The best, Jerry. When Chick-fil-A finally got to New York, people like friends of mine in New York, they lost their minds.
Isn't there one at Times Square now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's yeah.
But they literally lost their minds. And eventually we got a Krispy Kreme up there as well. But my guys were like, this is the greatest sandwich ever. I'll make this brief because we got guys on hold. When I worked in Bluefield, West Virginia, we had a sales guy. And he would get in trouble, Carl, because they had specific sales territories. Because he would always find himself over there in the territory where the Chick-fil-A was at the mall. And we had a new general manager came in named Ray, who's a real ball buster. And the office where all the DJs were was right down the hallway from Bray's office. So I'm literally, and the walls were thin. So we hear this dude getting reamed out by the new general manager. He goes, let me tell you something. You got a territory. You stay in that territory. You better get over this Chick-fil-A addiction. You better get that chicken off your back, buddy.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A addiction.
We catch you out of your territory one more time, you're fired. And the guy, and I don't know what this guy went on to do, but he was like literally the sad sack sales guy. You know, he was always the lowest guy in the totem pole. And he literally was like, I'm sorry, Ray, I just love how it tastes.
That's too funny.
It was back in 1990. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for your favorite chicken?
There were not that many locations in 90.
No.
Yeah.
There was one at the mall in Bluefield. Yeah. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What do you got?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, the best chicken in town is definitely at Magic City. Don't tell my wife, but those chicken wings are fire.
So, yeah, man, of course, we all know one of our favorite Hawks, Lou. Would love Lou to get that game back from last year, too. Maybe he needs another trip to Magic City.
No doubt, man. Go make sure you're the lemon pepper waiting on Lou, man.
Right,
I mean,
on.
Hey, but no, listen, nobody's ever going to argue that, right? We know
Magic City. Yeah. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Who's got the best chicken?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Gotta be Bojangles, hands down.
I always feel dirty when I go to Bojangles, like I'm cheating on Georgia, Carl, because that's a Carolina thing.
It is.
But it is good. When you go to a Panthers game, it's tasty.
Well, there's one. Is it Bojangles? What's the other chicken spot? Ray, what's the other one? Is it
Is it Bojangles? What's the one down here?
Yeah, it's Bojangles. I was trying to remember. And so, yeah, there's one close. And I find myself passing by there. There have been times where I'm like, do I want to make the run and go to try to find the Popeyes? Or am I going to do the Bojangles? But they have good stuff, man. They got good stuff.
I mean, but I just love the spicy Popeyes is my play. If you want to, like, you know, the bone-in chicken, that's the play, man. You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you just got to wait, you know, give up, you know, an hour of your life to get it. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for your favorite chicken in town?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
The best wing place in Cobb County is American Deli off of East West Connector. But worst, they won't even say thank you or hello. But the best wing you'll find in Cobb County.
Wait. What do you mean they won't say hello or thank you? What are you talking about?
It's just one of those places where they know their food is good. And they just want. I purposely, every time I go.
All right. Well, again, we can't. There's no way to substantiate this man's claims that they're very impolite.
Yeah, but it just makes me laugh. It's almost like what you drive up and they throw wings at you.
No, I mean, no, there are places, notorious places that I've been to. No, I mean, not notorious, famous for being a little rude. Peter Luger's in Brooklyn is one. I mean, it's like, here's the steak and it's really good. And the waiters don't give you any lip. I mean, literally, don't give the waiters any lip. They're going to Vegas, by the way. There's going to be a freestanding Peter Luger's in Vegas.
No, Caesars.
Is it Caesars?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. And then there's a little, but there's a great Cuban diner called Puerta Saga on 5th and Collins in Miami Beach. It's the same thing. They're famous for the most rude waiters in town, Carl, because the place is that good.
Listen, if your food is the bomb like that, I mean, you can act up. But I still, if I'm paying decent money, I want some service. Come on.
I know Vegas is also short on steak places, so glad to see they're getting another one.
Well, here's the thing. They've not expanded. This is a big deal, though, for Peter Luger to be
Vegas. They've gone west of the East River.
Yeah, so say what you want. That's a big deal, man, for them.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your favorite chicken in town? Tonight's game winner. Where you jump in. Anytime. Unless you're choking on a chicken sandwich, in which case I would advise someone to give you the Heineken maneuver.
Hey, man,
you're on the radio, bro. What you got?
Hey, man. Man, I don't eat spicy food like that. But that damn lady from Nashville that brought down Hattie B's down here, man, that's a damn good chicken.
Yeah. You're right about that. Hattie B's. That's you talk about a line, Mike. There's always a line at Hattie B's in Nashville.
Man, I know that we're kind of morphed off of like fast food into like, you know, sit down restaurants. But if we're gonna talk that, the Colonnade over on Cheshire Bridge, that's fantastic fried chicken. I mean, that is good stuff, man. I used to make the run from Midtown over there.
Colonnade is good. It is good.
You're writing this down, Chris? Because Chris has been living here now just over a year.
Well, I got the original JR Crickets just a couple blocks away.
That's right.
True enough.
Good spot. Tasty wings, crispy wings, man. The original $3 cafe in Buckhead. There's a $3 on Roswell Road, Carl, in Sandy Springs.
Yes,
but
there is.
But those crispy drums and, oh, yeah, that's the spot, man. Yum, yum.
It's right around the corner. Mm. Hey, man, let's get to tonight's Mimecast email of the day. The email of the day protected by Mimecast, guys. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, the risk of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. That's Mimecast.com. Hey, lots to talk about with our Hawks. By the way, they're coming up 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip tonight as they take on the Miami Heat. But after the comments today of Travis Schlink, this came in from Paul today, and he says, Dukes and Bell, listening to the comments of Travis Schlink talking about the trade of Cam Reddish, I think he did the right thing. I just don't know what else is next. I'm hoping we trade for another star. I think this team needs another star to play with Trey. No disrespect to John Collins. But look at the championship teams that are formulated in the NBA. They have more than one star. And I look at our team, and I feel like we just have one right now. I hope Travis puts together a deal.
I mean, see, this was the argument. And again, I like John's leadership, but this was the argument against John getting that deal. What is John's role? I mean, is John, he's part of the blueprint and moving forward. But, I mean, now you tell me I got to get another wing because, I mean, we kind of do need a wing, I guess, is what we need, isn't it?
We need some more depth there. There's no doubt. And you're going to have injuries. That's the other part. Mm. I mean, Bogey and Gallo, guys, up, down, we need more depth. That's another part of the Cam, you know, not being here. Mm. Hey, thanks to Chuck Smith for stopping by today. All these interviews online at Odyssey.com. Also, we had a chance to talk to David Green today. We talked to our buddy Steve Koonin, CEO of our Atlanta Hawks, and Dave Archer as well. All of those interviews online. Hey, let's get out of here and clear our throats!
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show. So it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
All right, Mike, where you headed? Where you going?
Hey, man, we spent a lot of time on this the last few days because it just drives me crazy when you hear people that they get to a level of power in a place like a professional football team in the NFL. Like the general manager of the Houston Texans, Nick Caserio. And there's a lot of drama there. Good article I always refer people to from SI that talks about how they got this guy Westerby in there screwing things up. He had the balls to say, Carl, that I said, if you rewind and go back to a year ago, I think the organization was in a pretty tough spot. And quite frankly, I think that's because they're in a better position now because of the leadership and of the guidance and the direction that David Culley brought to this football team. Oh, is he retiring? Because he's brought leadership? He's taking you from a rough spot, taking you next level? No, he's been fired because it was the most ridiculous sham of like, well, you know what? We're kind of in a gap year. Let's hire an African-American coach to kind of appease people. And like, you know, we're obeying the Rooney rule, but this guy, really, no one knows who he is, and we'll move on from him. It's the most disrespectful, ridiculous, dishonest thing I've seen in the end. The NFL does a lot of this, but this one takes the cake.
You kind of sound like Denzel on Training Day. You disrespectful!
No, I mean, it just it drives me crazy because the Rooney
I'll rule, have you in Pelican Bay!
These guys, you got clowns. I mean, I don't think people realize you got owners who've never owned a sports team. They don't know anything about how this works with clowns that stay there like Greer in Miami. And these guys keep getting jobs. It drives me nuts.
I don't know if the Falcons made the wrong decision. But congratulations to Devondre Campbell. AP first team All-Pro with the Green Bay Packers. They are the number one seed. And when he's with the Falcons, guys, he helped us get to a Super Bowl. He left because, well, it was contract. They didn't want to pay him. He goes out to the Cardinals. It didn't work there. And all of a sudden now, he's been revitalized. Just because a guy leaves doesn't mean he isn't any good. Congratulations, Devondre. Did the Falcons make the wrong decision on the linebacker they chose to pay? Hey, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
You don't.
You're a fourth-round linebacker who couldn't stay a Falcon because Julio took all your money.
I like the happy ending.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.